Welcome to Pillar and Ground Podcast. I'm Brian Salter, lead pastor at LMPC, and this episode is a confession episode. In these episodes, we take a look at the Westminster Confession of Faith and seek to understand it and apply it to our lives. And so glad to be doing this together with Will Nettleton, pastor of Mission and Worship. Welcome back, Will. We're wrapping up chapter 11. It's been a great chapter, one full of encouragement and refreshment, good news. We're looking at 11.5 and 11.6 today, and so we'll just dive right in to 11.5.
On justification, in paragraph 5 of that chapter, God continues to forgive the sins of those who are justified. Although they can never fall from the state of justification, yet they may, by their sins, fall under God's fatherly displeasure and not have the light of his countenance restored to them until they humble themselves, confess their sin, plead for pardon, and renew their faith and repentance.
All right. The justified still sin.
Yes.
What is that about?
Yeah. See, I would love to know that in my own life. What is going on here? Why do I keep doing this stuff? Yeah. I think the divines also here, this goes back. We mentioned this in the first couple of episodes. There's a discussion, that's a nice word for it, going on between Rome and the reformers about sin and justification and how it all works. And so you walked us through how Rome at this point really was arguing for justification, yes, by faith, but also by participation in the sacraments and work. There was a way that you could lose this infusion of righteousness, and then so through mortal and venial sins, and the only way to really restore that treasury of righteousness was to get more of that merit was to do penance. And so the reformers are trying to, in this chapter, address the reality we all know, which is I've placed my faith in Christ, I've been baptized, I love the Lord, and yet I find myself doing things that I don't want to be doing. Like Paul talks about in Romans 7, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I've never felt more in line with Paul than I have when he says that. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? We go on sinning. And so what they're getting at here in chapter 5 is that that really is true. We do sin. Even though we are saved, we go on to be sinners. Jesus, when he teaches the disciples to pray in Matthew 6, what is one part of the Lord, what we call the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our debts.
Yeah.
That's an ongoing prayer that we're to be praying. Jesus gives us this gift of recognizing you're going to keep doing this. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to need a way back. But that way back is not, as the Roman Catholic view had it, in the 1500s, that we are actually losing our justification and need to do all of this penance to get back to Jesus. What the reformers are saying and the Westminster divines are saying is we can never fall out of the state of justification because of what we talked about last time, that Jesus, Hebrews 10 tells us, has offered this once for all perfect sacrifice for sins. So for God to revoke our justification would be double jeopardy. He would be punishing us for a sin that has already been dealt with. Jesus has paid that. So he can't do that. He won't do that because he is both just and justifier, as Paul talks about in Romans. But we got to have some sense of God still hates sin as it's happening in our lives. And we still do that. We do still sin. So where does that fit within this justification?
That's good. There's a dynamic relationship.
Yeah.
Even though there's a definitive status.
That's a great way to phrase it.
And I find myself sometimes asking this when we do the call to confession. Verse 9 of 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sometimes I'll stop and ask myself, but I thought I was... So I'm asking for forgiveness, but I thought I already have it. Does that make
yes, absolutely.
But then what they're getting at is this dynamic relationship as they talk about God's fatherly displeasure and the light of his countenance. How that experience of the relationship. So just talk about asking for something you already have.
Yes.
When we ask forgiveness.
Right. Yeah. And I think this is where the Reformed understanding of justification as a legal declaration is really helpful, because in a couple chapters, we're going to get, I think it's actually the next chapter, we're going to get to adoption.
Yeah.
So there is a legal component to our salvation, but there's also this beautiful familial component as well. So we are not just being dealt with in the courtroom, we're being dealt with in the family room. We've been brought in to God's family. And so part of what we're talking about here is, your forgiveness, the courtroom stuff, that's been dealt with. What we have now is relational stuff that needs to continue to be dealt with in the same way that we've taken our marriage vows to our wives.
Yeah.
And yet, I know that I have offended my wife already this morning. You know, I've done things that I'm going to need to go back to her. We don't have to do the wedding vows again. We don't have to, you know, completely redo that. Those vows still hold. We're still married. But there is relational tension that needs to be dealt with. There is sin that needs to be named, needs to be confessed. And there are ways, like, we can have displeasure with one another. We can have frustration with one another that as a part of being in a family together. And so when they talk about God's fatherly displeasure, this is the reality they're getting at. You are now in, I mean, there's actually a beautiful truth underneath this. You're in the family of God. Mm-hmm. He is your father. He is not merely, in this instance, your judge.
That's good.
Right? Yeah, like, this is good, really this relationship helpful. Between a father and a son or a daughter. And, but the sin is the relational, I keep saying tension. I'm sure there's a better word. The relational angst is there. And that is, as we confess our sins, what is going on there. Always lots more to be said, but.
That's, I love how you distinguish the judge and the father. He is both, but I've heard it said when we begin to confess our sins, knowing our justification by faith alone, by Christ alone, we confess our sins knowing that I've not just broken your law, I've broken your heart.
Yes, it's great.
And so the light of his countenance with a broken heart,
yes,
that he's seen us not respond to his love in a way that's worthy of it.
Right.
Consider that light of his countenance and restoring that that relationship together, that dynamic relationship.
I love that. I mean, Psalm 89, 31 through 33 is a perfect encapsulation of what you just described. If they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. But I will not remove from him my steadfast love or be false to my faithfulness.
That's good.
That captures both dynamics of God is going to continue as we bring in that relational component of our sin. He is going, we can experience his fatherly displeasure. It can feel like, man, I feel like there's distance in some ways. And God can do that as our father. He can cause us to feel the sense of our sin, that we have grieved him and grieved the Holy Spirit, but it is never an undermining. It is always a father doing that to a child to bring about restoration, to bring about, he is never undermining his covenant. He's never removing his love and he's never kicking us out of the family.
Yeah, that's good. They end with 11.6.
Yeah.
Let's read that and talk about it.
Yeah, the justification of believers under the Old Testament was, in all these respects, one and the same with the justification of believers under the New Testament.
Yes. So how does Hebrews 13:8 reinforce that point and kind of talk about just the way justification works, Old and New Testament?
Yep.
It's one and the same, they say.
Yeah, so Hebrews 13:8 reads, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't rehash everything we've talked about in our previous episodes on the covenant and other places, but this is just a reminder, I think, from the divines as well, that they're pointing us back to something they've already said, which is that salvation works the same way in the Old Testament that it does in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. Abraham, Genesis 15 tells us Abraham believed and it was counted to him as righteousness. God promises him he's going to make him a great nation. And Abraham believes that it's counted as righteousness. Abraham is saved by faith, Paul tells us in Romans. And so what the divines are doing is anchoring justification in that as well, that the Old Testament believers were not justified by their offerings and their sacrifices and their obedience to the Ten Commandments. They were saved by faith. They were resting in the promise of the Messiah, the one who was to come. In fact, all of those things were pointing forward to Jesus. So we often associate the Old Testament believers with the Ten Commandments. They got to keep the law to be saved. But what we forget is right after they're given the law, they're given the instructions for the tabernacle. And everything in the tabernacle is pointing forward to Jesus. Yep. It's a reminder of what went on in the garden, the failure, the loss, but it's also the sacrifice, the altar is there. It's all pointing forward to Jesus, because mm-hmm. blood of sheep and goats doesn't take away sin. All of that was pointing forward. And so they're just simply saying this justification was true for them. They were looking forward to the Messiah coming and his sacrifice ultimately, and we are looking backwards to the sacrifice of Jesus.
Yeah, that's good. One and the same with the justification of believers, Old and New Testament. So the divines have wrapped up their thoughts on justification, and we sure hope that as we've walked through this, that's a lot of richness in chapter 11. That you have been encouraged in how Jesus cares for you, loves you, and has relationship with you through his free gift and the Father's authoring of that.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Pillar and Ground. We look forward to spending future episodes together with you.